Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads. I am your host, Elizabeth Overton. And as usual, I'm really, really, really excited to be here today. And I'm so excited for this episode. It's going to be really interesting and probably information maybe that you have never heard about before. So today I have on the show Jason Duprat. He is a nurse anesthetist, a Navy officer, a business owner, and he is the host of the Healthcare Entrepreneur Academy podcast. And he is passionate about helping healthcare professionals create additional streams of income through entrepreneurship. So Jason, welcome to the show.
Elizabeth, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
You are so welcome. So I love to tell people how I meet other people that I have on the show, because I believe that relationships and connection are what make the world go round. And certainly that's where business deals go down, right? In relationships. So I think we were connected on LinkedIn, Jason. I listened to your interview with my good friend, Keith Carlson, nurse mm-hmm. Keith Carlson. And then I found out that you also were a chapter leader for the NNBA, the National Nurses and Business Association. So I'm like, okay, clearly there's some signs saying that it would be good for me to reach out to you, because I'd love learning from other people. So I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about your journey. I mean, we talked a little bit in the introduction, but can you tell us a little bit about your journey, as much or as little as you want, and sort of how you got to where you are now, Jason?
Yeah, definitely. So my journey is sort of long and complex. I didn't follow the normal path that most healthcare professionals follow. So I actually had a degree in hotel and resort management, and I worked as a restaurant manager for several years, which was quite an interesting experience. I'd worked in restaurants since I was a kid. Had my first job when I was like 13 doing dishes at a local restaurant. And so I was really familiar with restaurants. I had worked in restaurants all through high school and college. And so when I graduated, I sort of was disillusioned a bit by the marketing of the school and stuff. They were, you know, touting that their graduates get the best paying jobs. Of course, they are really skilled marketers and sort of get students to believe that, the naive students anyways, which I was at the time. So I bought into all that. I paid a fortune at a private school for that education. And when I came out, the best job I could find was working as an assistant manager at an IHOP. And that was a tough sort of lesson for me to learn. At that time, I think I had like $40,000 in student debt. $40,000. So I ended up working as that assistant restaurant manager for, it was less than a year before I started to look for other career opportunities. So I was doing research online. I took a personality profiling test, and nursing came up in like the top two slots. So I was like, let me check out this nursing thing. I don't know anything about it. I thought nursing was just for females. That's how naive I was back then. So I did a little research. My sister's friend was a nurse, so I talked to her, and she was like, oh, you should totally do it. She absolutely loved it. So I started taking the prereqs. I absolutely loved the prereqs. I didn't realize how much I was passionate about the sciences, the biology, the microbiology, the anatomy, physiology, all that stuff. So took the prereqs, ended up moving to Florida to do a accelerated second bachelor's degree program. And I went to the University of Central Florida. That was I think it was 16 or 17 month program. So it was really quick, second bachelor's degree, super intense, but we got that done. Then I started working in the emergency room, transitioned into the ICU. So that way I could get into nurse anesthesia school. There's a requirement that you do a minimum of 1 year of critical care. So I got in that ER and then a year of ICU, which allowed me to get accepted into the nurse anesthesia program. That was another brutal program. It was 28 months and super intense, way more than I was expecting. You essentially are working a full-time job, doing your clinicals 40 hours a week or more, and taking a full course load of graduate degree classes. So it was really rough, but we made it through it and did a little work in Orlando, moved to Albuquerque for a few years, which is sort of where my life started to change and my mindset started to change, is once I got to Albuquerque. I started to do a lot more sort of personal development type stuff and research and connecting with more like-minded people, those who are interested in sort of business and sort of excelling at life and figuring out how to take the next step. So that's sort of what got the ball rolling for me. Just recently moved back to Florida. I'm in Jacksonville now. And yeah, that's pretty much the story that I have. And I went, on an exciting note, I went to a mastermind. It was in February in Puerto Rico. And at that mastermind, I'd already had a side business, but at that mastermind, it was made very clear to me through all the group of people that was there that I needed to quit my job. So I came back. Well, I quit my job while I was there. I wrote in my letter of resignation, and then I came back and went and started full time on my business as soon as I finished up my last few weeks that I had in my contract to finish up. So that's my story.
Okay, this is why I love talking to people, because obviously I didn't know any of this about you until now. So I want to thank you for sharing that, Jason, because really what I want the show to be is just evidence for people of what is possible. And there's no like pie in the sky rule or like cookie cutter approach, right? Like you were working at a restaurant. I love knowing this about you because it's just so cool. It was taking me back. My first degree was in exercise science, and I was legit folding towels at the Racquet Club of Memphis. And I'm like, you know, I feel like I was meant for more. Like, no offense to anyone who wants to work in a gym or a racquet center. And that's when I applied to nursing school. And I thought, similar to what you were maybe feeling, oh, this will be so easy because everybody in my family is either a doctor or a nurse. And it's like, I know so much about anatomy physiology because of my first degree. Oh my Lord. It was so hard. Nursing school is so hard. Oh my gosh.
It's brutal.
Oh my gosh. So I'm just curious though, from the time that you started that accelerated program to when you turned in your resignation, I love this. You wrote your letter of resignation at the mastermind in Puerto Rico. Like that's some power, right? Whoa.
Yeah, for sure. It was a life-changing experience for real. Like it was a high ticket mastermind. I paid $7,500 to go, not including travel and food and all that stuff. Because it was with John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire, who's just an entrepreneur who's crushing it. And I was listening to his podcast while I was in Albuquerque for, probably 2 years before I actually had the courage to take any action. I was just consuming content galore, trying to learn as much as possible, and constantly coming up with excuses to not start a business. You know, things range from I don't have time to I don't know what I'm doing to I think I should get an MBA first to I have no idea what type of business I would be good at. And so it was just like a variety of sort of negative self-talk that prevented me from starting any sooner. But I'm so glad I actually got started when I did, because it's been just such a game changer. I have like so much more time and freedom now, and I'm way happier than waking up at 5 a.m. and driving to work and then staying there umpteen hours on demand, being forced to stay late, pick up call, all that stuff was sort of just driving me nuts. So we've kind of done away with all that. And it was all brought on by that initial mastermind is what really gave me the courage to step up and do it. So, yeah, it was a group of 7 high level entrepreneurs. Most weren't in healthcare. There was one dentist there, but there was people who were ranging from just starting a business all the way up to one of the guys there was he was netting $1 million a year in profit from his online website. And I was like, whoa, this is like really inspirational. Like almost everybody had a podcast there. They were all living the life of their dreams or working towards it. And I was like, man, if these guys can do it, like what's stopping me? They just took the leap. So that got me to take the leap. JLD, we did like a, they call it a hot seat. So they'll put each person in front of everybody else. And they sort of like do a semicircle around you. And JLD sort of talks you through your business, your next business strategies. You get input from the other entrepreneurs in the room. And so one of my big hangups was like, I've just started a business, you know, it's doing okay, and I don't have time because I'm working and doing my business. And so we worked through that whole process, and long story short, everybody in the room all at once was like, JLD was like, what should Jason do, guys? 1, 2, 3. And everybody at the same time was like, quit your job. I was like, okay, that's what I need to hear. Sometimes you just need to hear it from some other people in order to make the leap.
Okay. This is so juicy. I call them angel bumps when I'm talking to people, and something that you say just resonates so deeply with me. So, so many things to unpack, but I really want to acknowledge you and thank you for just being so authentic and talking about, you know, the courage and the vulnerability. And so what would you say, because you know, this obviously didn't happen overnight, and I see so many people comparing their chapter 3 to someone's chapter 29, right? It's so common to compare, and I just want people to see this as evidence of what's possible. So what do you think it was specifically that allowed you to step out of the Jason that was all like, you know, I don't have time, I don't have the money, I don't have this? Like, was it the culmination of things? Was it that group of, you know, people that were crushing it, who basically gave you permission? What do you think it was that allows you to just like take the leap, basically?
Yeah. So there's a quote, and it's, I don't know exactly how it goes, but it's something like, to compare is to despair. And I totally believe in that. You should never be comparing yourself to people who are so far ahead of you, because you're just going to be starting that negative self-talk thing again, where you're not good enough. You're never going to get there. All this stuff. Stop comparing yourself to anybody else. The only person you should compare yourself to is yourself the day before. That's the only thing that makes sense. As long as you're improving on yourself, or your business every day, then you're making steps in the right direction. And that's the only thing you should be focused on. But to answer your question, the thing that really got me to make that move was that mastermind. I mean, I had done all the work ahead of time, so that helped me make that decision. You know, I had started a business. It took me a long time to start it, but the online business anyways. I had actually started a ketamine therapy practice in Albuquerque. And I had sold that by the time I went to this mastermind. So I did have some business experience, but this was like the new business that I had, which was an online course teaching others how to start ketamine therapy practices. And so it was fairly new. It wasn't like making life-changing money or anything, but I really enjoyed it. And sort of all that prep work, you know, the small mini steps along the way, combined with that big push from everybody at that mastermind, is what got me to make that next step. And that's really important. So like just every day taking those small mini steps, because at one point you're going to have to take the leap. And that was what helped me take that leap, is that mastermind and getting around some high level entrepreneurs. Because before that, I had never met an entrepreneur, believe it or not. The only entrepreneur I'd ever met was my Aunt Yvonne, who ran a satellite repair business, did really well. She was like probably the wealthiest person in our family. And so she was the only person I had ever met that had owned a business that I was like close with. So I didn't have anybody to lean on. I didn't have anybody to ask questions to. And that mastermind just sort of changed the game for me, for real.
Oh, yeah. I love this so much. Tony Robbins talks about proximity as power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, who can you get in proximity of? And there is something, because everything is energy. And when you're in the energy of the people who are already doing it, becoming it, it really does give you the chutzpah, the capacity, and that, like, it's like the womb of support to be able to help you. So my next question for you, Jason, is what did taking the leap and quitting your job allow you to become right now?
Yeah, so it basically allowed me to focus on my business, which we've been able to scale up over the last several months, into something that's replaced my full-time nurse anesthesia income, and actually built upon that. I have the flexibility to work in my home office, which is awesome. We do our podcast interviews from here. We work on the course from here. And it's the freedom that comes with being an entrepreneur that I absolutely love, because the daily grind was something that was really sort of getting me down, almost to the point where I was depressed, because just working so much. I was doing 24-hour shifts in the hospital, being on call, working in the OR. Like, I just had no time for fun. And when I did have like a day off, I was so exhausted that it was just like recovery period. But running your own business, you sort of are in control of your own schedule. You're in control of your own destiny. You can work as hard as you want, or as little as you want, in theory. It's just been that freedom that really makes it such a powerful tool. That's why I've gotten really passionate about starting businesses. I think everybody should have some sort of a side gig at least, because you don't want to always depend on your employer for a job. Your employer is not going to be loyal to you. They're just, at the flip of a dime, they're going to turn their back on you in most cases. And if they start to lose revenue, one of the first things they're going to do is start cutting employees. And so you can't be 100% dependent on your W-2 job. You have to have at least some side streams of income. I was reading a book the other day that said the average multimillionaire has 12 to 20 streams of income. And so that's sort of my mission, is to help healthcare professionals sort of follow that same path, because it has worked amazingly for me.
Okay, two things. Okay, first of all, Tweetable is when you work for yourself, you can create your own destiny. Oh, so good. That's so juicy. I love that. And then the other one, let me see. Oh, absolutely. This thing about this quote fake security of your day job. I'm about to do a course about this, and it's like, you can't dictate what your employer values. And at the end of the day, it's probably not you, especially.
Yeah,
you.
That's so true.
So yeah. It's like, that's the best advice ever. And I love, you have a proven strategy. You're able to help people set up businesses. So I love to ask people, because my show is called Divine Downloads, and I like to sort of bring I like to help people share, like sort of bring the soul or the spirit of humanity to being in healthcare. So to me, a divine download, Jason, is like information that you receive that it changes your humanity. Like, once you receive this info, download, upload, whatever you want to call it, you don't live, you don't take action in the same way. And people have many of these in their lifetime, but is there one in particular that you would say just resonates so deeply with you that you think our listeners would want to hear?
Yeah. So my divine download was sort of the biggest component of it was an event that took place that landed me in the emergency room. So when I was working all these crazy shifts, because there were some weeks where I was working over 90 hours a week on these 24-hour shifts, sleeping in the hospital in this tiny little prison cell of a call room. But that sort of lifestyle, that sort of workaholicness, that sort of just burning your candle at both ends is what ended up causing me to develop, I'm pretty sure anyways, is I had gastric reflux. I developed gastritis, some peptic ulcers, and some really bad esophageal erosion from all the essentially stress. Cortisol is known, and increased stress levels are known to increase your gastric pH and cause heartburn is one of the things that can result in. And so I really think that all that sort of the culmination of all that stress and overworking and all that sort of landed me in the ER. And while I was sitting there, I ended up staying the night as well. So not only did I have that, but I also was diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis while I was there, which was not fun. It was unbelievably painful. Like, I literally thought I was having a PE or a heart attack or something. Like, I thought I was going to die. It just hurt so bad in my chest. And it was the combination of that rhabdo and the ulcers. But that was sort of like my epiphany moment when I was laying there in the hospital being like, what in the world am I doing? Like, I'm just driving myself into the ground. My body can't even handle it. Like, I've got to make a change. And so just laying there in that hospital bed was the period in sort of reflecting. That was my divine download. That was the major impetus for me to make a change in my life. Yep.
Whoa. Okay. So I have more goosebumps. Can you tell the audience, just in case we have people and I don't even remember what that condition is, a rhabdo. Tell us what that is again.
Yeah, rhabdomyolysis is when you're, so it's when your creatinine kinase, your CK and B levels get really high into the thousands or tens of thousands, and it's usually caused by some sort of muscle breakdown. So sometimes it's caused by overexertion, severe dehydration. There's certain medications that can cause it, and they have no idea what caused my episode of it, but it was particularly affecting like my chest wall muscles, and that's what was causing me a big deal of that chest pain. I mean, also it was a peptic ulcer at the same time. So yeah, that's what rhabdo is, and it can cause severe kidney damage because the myoglobin from your the myoglobin gets stuck up in your kidneys and can cause renal failure. So it's not a pleasant thing to experience.
And what year did that download happen for you, Jason?
So that was in 2017. That's when I was in the ER and stayed a night in the hospital.
So that's obviously not that long ago. So this is so apropos, so quintessential, I think, for nurses, people in healthcare to hear, right? It's because it's like, you go to school, you're doing what you're trained to do. For what? Like, what? I'm so glad that you saw the light and you had the download, because look at what you're doing now. So I, like, yay for the download. And can you please tell us a little bit about, first of all, for people that don't know, a little bit about, you know, how ketamine is being used today for certain conditions, and a little bit about your online program, and people, if they are looking to, you know, learn from you, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, as an anesthesia provider, we administer ketamine like almost daily in the operating room and in labor and delivery. And so I was really familiar with the medication itself, and I had learned from an ER physician that had called me because he was starting a ketamine practice in Texas. And so he called because he wanted an anesthesia provider's perspective on starting an outpatient ketamine therapy center. So that was the first I'd ever heard of it. And it just kind of sat in the back of my mind. You know, I talked to him, sort of helped him out. And then that sort of thought just sat in the back of my mind for a really long time while I was there in Albuquerque, because we had that conversation right before I moved to Albuquerque. And that sort of thought sat there, sort of was stewing in the back of my mind for many months. And several months later, actually it was probably about a year later, JAMA Psychiatry published an article releasing their consensus guidelines on ketamine therapy. And so sort of that was like the thing that I needed to say, okay, this is a validated therapy. This isn't some sort of, you know, new opioid epidemic that's going to be started. This is like validated by lots of research, and JAMA Psychiatry published guidelines on this now. So this is something that I can do. I'm familiar with ketamine, and ketamine is actually, so it's a dissociative anesthetic that we use in the OR. That was what it was primarily developed for. And research around 2000 started to indicate that it was really helpful for treatment-resistant depression. It's actually now, with multiple studies, dozens and dozens of studies now, it's considered to be the most effective antidepressant ever discovered. It's the fastest acting. It works in about 75% of patients, and it works in 75% of patients with the toughest cases of depression. And so once this data started to come out, I really was interested in this because my mom suffered through a really bad bout of depression when she first moved to Florida, and you know, she could not seem to get herself out of it. She's doing wonderful now, but had I known that then, you know, could have possibly referred her to somebody. And so it just kind of resonated with me, and I wanted to be able to help people in that same situation because I saw the struggles that she went through. And so I started my own practice in Albuquerque, and it took off. I was completely shocked. I did it part-time while I was still doing the 24-hour shifts, crazy enough. But then I was able to stop doing those 24-hour shifts. And but it was so worth it, because the patients that were leaving the clinic were leaving, like literally the ones that were having wonderful results, which is quite a few. The success rate is pretty phenomenal. Some of them were literally crying, leaving the office crying, giving us hugs, giving me and my wife hugs. She's a nurse too. because they felt so much better, and they genuinely felt that that therapy saved their lives. So absolutely am passionate about ketamine therapy, and now it's being used for treatment-resistant depression. It's also being used for chronic pain, neuropathic types of pain, complex regional pain syndrome, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, a variety of different things. There's new information coming out on the benefits of ketamine-assisted psychotherapy and how it can help people get off of opioids. So there's all sorts of new data coming out about this drug that's been around for 60 years now, that, you know, it's a Schedule III controlled substance, and people just assumed it was a recreational drug and an anesthetic. And now it's proving to be a very valuable medication for a variety of different uses. And yeah, so that's what I'm passionate about at the moment, is helping other clinicians, you know, become entrepreneurs through starting their own practices. That's one avenue that I focus on, because that's what I did in the past, and that's what I was successful at, and that's what I'm good at helping other people at. People can become entrepreneurs and doing a variety of different things, but that's what I help people with mostly. And so, yeah, that's what I absolutely love. We've had that course, the Ketamine Academy course, for 2 years now. We've had over 500 medical professionals graduate from it. And yeah, it's absolutely awesome. We're able to really impact the masses in that, you know, we've trained 500 medical professionals who each has the ability to treat hundreds or thousands of patients a year. So the impact that that's having for patients who are really struggling is just absolutely phenomenal. And it's something I'm really enjoying right now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And you know, it's, I think this past week was, you know, suicide awareness or prevention week. And what, mm-hmm. what a timely conversation, topic, treatment. Yeah, I remember ketamine. It's like been around forever. And is it a couple like clinical questions? Is it given IV? Sure. And then what's the like length of treatments, or is it, you know, individually based and all that?
Yeah, so the most effective protocol that's been studied is intravenous ketamine, and it's low dose. It's not, you're not giving it anesthetic levels. People think that they get initially afraid because they don't know much about ketamine or how it works, but it's one of the safest anesthetics that there is, because it doesn't stop respiratory drive unless it's given in just massive doses. So in low doses, the patients are wide awake. There's pretty much zero chance that they'll have any respiratory problems. It's hemodynamically stable, so it doesn't cause drops in blood pressure like a lot of other therapies do. And it's incredibly safe. So it's in low doses, and patients are wide awake, and they're conversant. They're talking, they're verbal with you. So that is one of the big benefits of giving it in that situation, in the outpatient situation. That's why it's being so commonly used in that setting now, where it used to only be given in the hospitals, but in these low doses, it's really safe. The protocol is 6 IV infusions over the course of 2 weeks is the most commonly studied protocol. And that's what we teach in our program. Just, I like to teach evidence-based nursing or medicine or medical therapies. There are some clinics doing a variety of other things, but the most common protocol is 6 infusions spread out over 2 weeks, and then the patient returns based on their symptoms of depression or whatever they're being treated for booster infusions. And usually that's just a single infusion. And yeah, so that's the protocol. And those booster infusions usually happen anywhere from 3 to 6 to 8 weeks. It just kind of depends on the patient. And then there are some clinics also doing IM ketamine, which is it's not as well studied, and the benefits don't appear to be as good. And then there's also some clinics doing intranasal, and some clinics are doing a combination of all three. So there was a new FDA approved drug called Spravato. It was just approved a couple months ago, and that is it's a racemic mixture of ketamine. So it's in chemistry, when you look at a molecule, there's typically an R and an S enantiomer, not to get too complex, but essentially just look at your right and your left hand. They look exactly the same, but they're mirror images of each other. Like you can't put them on top of each other the same way. So that's what most drugs come in is racemic mixture, which is both of those enantiomers. But the Spravato nasal spray is just one half of the ketamine molecule, essentially. It's one enantiomer. And so that was recently approved, but is not as effective. Data showing is really, it's actually one of the least effective drugs on the market. And that was just sort of the game that the pharmaceutical companies play. They had to change what the drug was slightly so they could patent it and then obviously sell it for a profit while it's patented. But to date, the most effective ketamine therapy is the racemic mixture, which is given IV or IM, and IV is definitely the most effective of all of them.
Okay, so I just can't believe how powerful this treatment it sounds. So what I'm thinking of, like, there are probably lots of people who are listening that do have severe depression. What's the, like, if somebody was going to come to a clinic and get this therapy, like, does insurance pay for it? And what kind of costs are we talking about, if that's okay to share?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Spravato, the nasal spray, is covered by insurance. And that's one benefit, even though it's less effective, is that some insurances are starting to cover that now. So it would just be your copay. And then some clinics are charging, because you have to be observed even with a nasal spray for 2 hours after administration, which is actually longer than the IV infusion. But so some clinics are charging an extra observation fee on top of that. But so that one is being covered by some insurances. There was a big push for insurances to cover it, but most of them just don't seem to be wanting to do that. And the ones that are not reimbursing appropriately. There's actually been quite a few clinics that have bought a bunch of the Spravato and then treated a bunch of patients and then haven't been able to get reimbursed. So that's the catch with Spravato. Maybe some more insurance companies will start reimbursing and covering it. But as of right now, the gold standard is IV therapy. And that's the cost of IV therapy. You'll see clinics charging anywhere from, I've seen it as low as right around $300 for an infusion, all the way up to $500. And we see the prices over the last couple of years have been trending down as competition increases. When I first started my clinic in 2017, there were clinics charging as much as $800, $900 for a single infusion. But now there's several hundred clinics around the country, and prices are coming down to much more reasonable levels. Into the $300 to $500 in infusion range.
Wow, this is incredible. So is the medical community, what's their take on this? Are they supportive? Would they refer people to this? What's your experience with that, Jason?
Oh yeah, we have tons of referrals. So one of our biggest referral sources in Albuquerque was a TMS treatment center, and TMS is transcranial magnetic stimulation, and that's sort of the alternative therapy to ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy. Both of those are used to treat, the toughest cases of depression. But we had a TMS center just down the street from us, and anybody that failed his TMS treatments, he sent to us. And he was a physician and a mental health physician. A psychiatrist. And so we were getting referrals all the time. Most clinics are getting referrals from whoever's treating the patient's mental health. And in some rural areas, that's their primary care because that's all that's available. And then in, bigger metropolitan areas, a lot of times it's a mental health specialist. And so, yeah, the medical community is definitely getting on board with this. The thing about medicine and nursing is that they're kind of slow to adopt. Actually, they're really slow to adopt. I feel like they don't like to make a move until there's like massive clinical trials or FDA approval, which a lot of times just isn't even possible, especially the FDA approval part, because nobody's going to submit for FDA approval for ketamine for depression, because it's not a patentable drug. So that's exactly why Spravato changed, or they used half the molecule and patented that, because then they could market it and sell it at a premium. But nobody's going to do that for the racemic version of ketamine, because they're not able to patent it. It's already come off patent. Once a drug comes off patent, it can never be patented again. So the cost of getting an FDA approval is, I've read articles that say it's anywhere from $300 million all the way up to $1 billion, which is absolutely crazy because of all the studies that they have to conduct and, you know, meet the FDA standard. That's a huge problem in this country, is that requirement alone to get a drug FDA approved. But so yeah, it's long story short, it's not FDA approved treatment. And that's sort of why some of the medical community is a little slow to adopt or refer. But now the data is, there's been dozens and dozens of studies. And as people get more educated on the topic, that they're becoming even more supportive of ketamine. Now there's some studies that show that ketamine can terminate a suicidal ideation within minutes. And now they're treating suicidal patients in the ER with single infusions in some institutions.
Wow.
So, moving towards, yeah, more acceptance. And the data just keeps coming out there. And, you know, as people learn that data, so there's such a lag time because, you know, a study might come out and then it might take a year or two or 3 years for a large volume of the medical population to read that study and then implement it into practice. So that's the thing that's going on with ketamine. You know, 2 years ago, almost nobody heard of it. Now that Spravato, that half of the ketamine molecule, made major headlines in the last few months, you know, the use of ketamine therapy is really starting to become much more mainstream now that clinicians have been educated on its benefits.
Well, I am so stoked that I got the download to contact you because I remember watching a Facebook Live maybe 6 to 9 months ago with Deepak Chopra and a couple, some psychiatrists, and they were talking about this. And I was like, this is so fascinating. And I mean, to be able to offer this in an ER and reduce suicidal ideations, are you kidding me? Like, wow, wow, wow. So please tell us, Jason, if people want to get on board, if they want to take your online course, how can people get in your vortex?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a website. It's ketamineacademy.com. That's our website for ketamine. You can find out all sorts of information on there. We have a free 1 hour and I think it's 20-minute webinar, which gives you a lot of the basic information. If you sign up for the webinar, you're going to get some emails to download our free ebook. I wrote a 35-page quick start guide as an ebook, and that's free. So there's a lot of free resources out there. The course sort of compiles everything all into one spot, and it provides CEs and a certification. So that's the benefits of taking the course. And then, yeah, there's tons of free information out there. I actually do free consultation calls too. So to book that call, it's right on the website. You can go to ketamineacademy.com/call and you can book a free 15-minute call if you want, just want to have a chat about ketamine. I'm passionate about it. And so, yeah, I just answer questions on the 15-minute strategy call and help people to determine if that's like the right practice for them to start. And then, yeah, so that's how they can find us there. And then we have the IV Therapy Academy as well, which is in partnership with a nurse practitioner. And on that program, we teach everybody how to start an IV therapy practice. So intravenous, vitamins, antioxidants, chelation, all that sort of stuff too. So yeah.
Awesome. Now tell people about your podcast and where they can find that.
Cool. Yeah. So we have a fairly new podcast. We launched it in June and it's called the Healthcare Entrepreneur Academy Podcast. And we have two episodes a week. One is a Tactical Tuesday and the other one is an interview episode. So on the interview episode, we interview healthcare entrepreneurs from around the globe. And these guys are sort of sharing their journey into how they became an entrepreneur. And while doing so, they share a lot of actionable advice and tips and things that can help the listener as they're going and preparing to start a business or they're trying to grow their business. So we've had orthopedic surgeons on there who run Amazon stores. We've had financial planners who work with business owners. We've had franchise consultants. We've had people who specialize in CBD oil and selling that. We've had people with online businesses. We've had people with brick and mortar businesses. So variety of entrepreneurs. It's really fun to talk to everybody around the country and around the world who has a business related to healthcare. And hopefully we are inspiring some people out there, maybe some of your listeners, to enter the world of entrepreneurship. If nothing else, then at least just to have a side gig and a backup stream of income.
Oh my gosh. Holy chock full of value, Batman. That's right there. That's where the money is for people to get inspired and get ideas. So that's amazing. Now, two more questions. If people are managing depression and they want to locate a ketamine clinic, is that something that you offer on your main website as well?
So that's funny that you asked that, because actually, was it two nights ago, we launched a new ketamine clinic directory on our website. And we've started importing the list of students that have graduated from our program. And so we've had over 500 graduates right now. We've started uploading the clinic names in batches. So right now, if you go on there, you can find, I think there's probably like 30 or 40 clinics. But as we continue adding our students from past and current, that list is going to exponentially grow, and people will be able to find a ketamine clinic in every state. We just put that up there last night. So that's a good way to find a clinic, or just reach out to me on social media, Jason A. Duprat, on pretty much every platform. Shoot me a message and I can try and connect you with somebody in your area that I know, because I'm really well connected in that space, oddly enough.
Awesome. Okay, so much value. And then this just came into my consciousness. What's the age? Like, is this okay for teenagers? What's the age that ketamine is safe for? If that's the protocol.
Yeah. So there's several newer studies that have been using ketamine in young teens, adolescents, and that's pretty much usually the cutoff line, adolescent age for use around the country. Some clinics, because there's not a ton of data on it yet, only treat adults, 17, 18 up. But you'll see other clinics, who have read the literature and believe the literature strong enough for adolescents, for like younger adolescents and young teens, and they're treating young teens. So, yep.
Okay, perfect. Okay, my last question. So you are one of the chapter leaders for the National Nurses and Business Association. You're in Jacksonville, Florida. So if there are any nurses that are listening, is there any information about that, how they can contact you, or if you're going to have meetings or that kind of stuff, if people want to like meet face to face, is that an option sometime soon?
Yeah. So this chapter leader, is a really new development. I actually just sort of did the training, with, Michelle, who's the president of the National Nurses and Business Association. So that's something that will be getting launched here in the next month or so. We're going to start doing a combination of probably digital meetups, digital masterminds, combined with in-person. And I'm in the Jacksonville area, Southeast Jacksonville. So we're going to sort of probably try to arrange monthly events or bi-monthly events for anybody who's interested in entrepreneurship, who's a nurse in particular, but you don't actually have to be a nurse to come and learn and interact and network with the other entrepreneurs or those interested in entrepreneurship. So that's going to be open. And if you want more information on that, just same thing, you can PM me on social media, Jason A. Duprat, shoot me a friend request, and I'm happy to keep you updated on the developments of that.
Awesome. And I can't wait to meet you in Vegas at the conference, the NCAA conference. And I can,
I know, I'm so excited.
Yay. It's going to be so much fun. So, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to know you. And thank you so much for all the value you are providing in the universe with this incredible treatment. I mean,
yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. I feel very, connected and deeply, compassion for, trauma, depression, anxiety. I love mental health. And I think we're helping breaking down barriers, right? Having the conversations and really supporting people. So any final wisdom bits or comments that you want to offer the listeners today, Jason?
I would say don't get stuck in the same rut I did of consuming too much content. You have to take action if you're interested in changing the path that you're on. You can't expect anything different if you're constantly doing the same exact thing. So if you're not happy in your job, or it's stressing you out, or it doesn't give you the schedule that you want, you have to start taking some action. And one of the best ways is to listen to the free podcast. It's literally free. You can listen to it on the way to work. Learn from some other entrepreneurs. Start to get your feet wet. Read some books. Do whatever it takes to start the learning process. And then, don't get stuck in that rut. Don't just consume. You have to take action. That's the only way anything is going to change if you want it to.
Oh, such great wisdom. Thank you so much again, Jason. This has been such an awesome conversation. So grateful. I also want to thank my listeners. If you're new, hey, welcome to the party. Thanks for joining. And if you're a repeat listener, thank you. And if you love what I'm putting down, I would love to get a little nod over on iTunes if you wouldn't mind leaving me a review. And then if you want to learn more about this divine download situation, head over to my website, lizwithoverton.com. And I also have a free Facebook group called Nurses of Influence. If you want to come join that community of high vibe, like-minded nurses doing awesome things in the world. So remember, if you're feeling stuck or in a rut or you feel overwhelmed, you are completely supported, not only now, but also in those times. Just keep taking, like Jason said, one inspired action after another. Baby steps add up to huge things over time that are sustainable. So until next time, take care and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.